At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're watching SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Game time decision continues. I am Lorenzo. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead. Cam Stewart, Mike Blewett, going to step up and in and join us in a couple of minutes at time. UFC Fight Island set to begin. First fight up, we've got Jack Shore, which sounds like a TV action hero, doesn't it? Like he's like a, it's like the new
yeah, Jack Shore. Shore sounds like a guy that sleeps with a lot of women successfully.
Well, we'll see if he fights successfully. A lot of hype about Jack Shore. Tell you, he's too a minus 820 favorite. Yeah, he's minus 820 favorite. It's a monster number. Yeah, I've said this a lot, and I've covered this sport for a long time, but it's true. I remember in the old days, you know, UFC 70 days, 60 days, UFC 100, whatever. George St. Pierre would only be like a minus 500 favorite. Like John Jones would only be like minus 500. Like I remember GSP. I remember I laid minus 500 once with GSP, and it was as high as he was, basically. And I laid $2,500 to win 500. And I was like, man, I got to lay minus 500. It's a pretty big number. And nowadays, you'll see, I've been talking about this for years, nowadays you'll have scrub fighters that have fought once in a UFC before and they're minus 1,200. It's like a completely different world with these odds right now. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you think, if you just sort of assume someone's great because of the odds, then you're going to lose a lot of money betting the UFC. But that's the first fight up here. So Lou's taking a shot with the underdog in this one, Captain Phillips. He's taking Captain Phillips against Jack Shore. Sounds like a night at the drive-in. Captain Phillips and Jack Shore. I think Jack Shore is going to win the fight. I got him in a parlay just because it moved the needle about 30 cents on the parlay. So I was like, ah, whatever. But I think it's going to go. I think it's going to go over 1.5. So that's the first fight up right now. What are you doing for the NASCAR? Who are you taking? I'm taking, like I said, I'm taking Brad Keselowski to win his first ever All-Star race.
Yeah, I'm going to do, I want to be on the same side, so I'm going to sprinkle on Keselowski. But the guy I like who's been very close recently is Martin Truex Jr. They're the exact same price, Gabe, so I'm going to take a shot with Truex Jr. Blaney's been good to me, maybe a little bit of a sprinkle, but you know that you don't want to put too much money out there. We got a lot of things to bet on tonight, plus that soccer match. I got tons of my golf portfolios out the yin yang. I got so many top 20s and other things that we'll talk about on your show later on tonight, but I'm going to take a shot with my boy Truex Jr. He's been good to me.
I actually have 0.00 left in my account right now. Mm-hmm. And I have 13 active bets. I went a little bigger. So I've got 13 active bets right now, and I'm kind of getting antsy. I'm like, all right, let's go, because I want to start rolling this stuff over. Like, let's go.
You can.
Let's start.
Once those fights start happening, you can.
Yeah.
Better credit.
Let's get some wins going here.
Quick credits. That's what I hate. There's no worse feeling, right, Gabe, when you're down to your last and you actually win the bet. You're like, come on, give it to me now. Give it to me now. I got to get something else. Hate waiting.
Oh, yeah, especially, dude, I used to be at the FanDuel Sportsbook itself. I used to be at the Sportsbook itself, and, man, there'd be massive lineups after. You're trying to get picks in. Listen, everyone's been there. I'm sure you've seen that in Vegas, but that's why they have apps right now as well. But, yeah, we got a busy night tonight. We'll get into the MLS MLS soccer game, the San Jose Earthquakes and the Vancouver Whitecaps. Mike Blewett's going to step up and then join us as well, and we're going to track this UFC. Game Time Decisions Radio continues. I'm Arenso. We're throwing it down to Ranger Ren and Cam Stewart. Mike Blewett will join us in a couple of moments' time. We'll get you caught up to date as far as all the NFL news is concerned. It's not all good, actually, but let's not play the coronavirus update game tonight when we've got real games to be betting on tonight. Now, who am I kidding? I'm going to bring it up, actually, when Mike Blewett joins us. We've got big problems as far as the NFL is concerned, guys. It's not starting September the 10th. And if you think it's starting September the 10th, then I don't know. You're probably either a corona denier or you're incredibly naive. I don't want to say you're dumb because you could be well-intentioned, but or I'm going to say you're not paying attention. They're not playing the preseason. So if there's no preseason, how are they going to be ready for the regular season? And more players on a daily basis are not saying that they're against playing. They're basically stating that the whole idea is just stupid. That it's like next to, like Sean McVay, pretty smart guy. Wasn't very smart that Sunday evening, unfortunately,
not
for you
that
and
Super
I, Ken.
Bowl.
Right, yeah. Wasn't very smart then, was he? Never adjusted back once.
Exactly.
I never adjusted the following year either. The Rams were on the same offense last couple of years.
I don't know. He's had two bad days. He's had 2 days, and we've been on him on his bad days. Thanks, McVay.
I was going to say Sean McVay is a smart guy, but Sean McVay said, I don't understand how it's possible. He said it's not. He basically stated, I don't see how we're going to play. It's not really possible to socially distance and play football and keep everybody safe. That's a coach. A bunch of New England Patriot players of all teams, actually. Surprisingly enough, a bunch of Patriot players are stepping up one by one. And, you know, listen, they're not, like, refusing to play, but they're saying they don't think it's going to happen or, you know, they don't know if it's going to happen or if it does happen, they're going to start a little bit later. The season might be postponed. So we'll get into that a little bit with Mike Blewett. We'll get to the picks. I look forward to Cam's Memorial Golf picks as well. We'll track this UFC. We'll recap our UFC best bets. You still have time to get in on Brad Keselowski, who I think is going to win the NASCAR race tonight. Game Time Decision continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. fight. Let's go. What are they waiting for? Let's do this thing. I got all my bets in action here. We got to get this thing rolling. Come on. It's like regular action. It's basically we're back to normal right now. We have way too many bets in action. I'm actually getting mad at myself because I'm like, why do I have no money in my account? I'm like, oh yeah, because of the MLS. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure. I had 500 in the account. After the UFC the other night, I had 1,300 in the account. After the MLS, I had like 260 in the account. It's been that bad. And now it's back up to like 667 in the account. I've been grinding. Mm-hmm. That basketball game yesterday, I hit it. We covered the number even though they heartbreakingly lost. The MLS is driving me crazy. So now basically I rolled over about $667 on, the UFC, but not just the UFC, early UFC. Basically the prelim card. I'm like, all right, whatever happens, happens here. Let's get after it. All right, here's my main man, Jack Shore. Jack Shore getting ready against Aaron Phillips, I hear right now. All right, Mike Blewett. Mike Blewett joins us.
What's up, buddy?
Mike's got the UFC on the giant screen right now. What's up, Mike? You and the kids, wife and the kids, watching the UFC?
Yeah. I'm solo tonight. I'm going to settle in, actually, with some UFC, but I can't look at it right now because I'm staring at my two buddies right here doing a show.
So how would you feel if your daughter said, I want to be a UFC fighter?
It's a big matzo ball out there, Gabe.
I think the answer is, let's have a talk, honey.
He thought I was going to ask you about Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the curveball that I did not expect. I think there would have to be multiple conversations prior to her sitting me down and saying that that's what she wanted to do with her life. But, I don't begrudge anybody for doing it. I still want to see her get hit in the face. She's 5 years old. It was her birthday 2 days ago. I don't want to think about her getting punched.
Well, it's fine. That's why happy birthday. Do I bring it up? Exactly. It's her birthday. It's getting a little late. If she's going to start, she better start now, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to get her in the gym. Let's the pads.
Yeah, yeah. Tuck, 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 tuck. Get her going. At least got to put a tennis racket. Yeah. Get a tennis racket, golf club gone. But all right, all kidding aside, Mike Blewett kicking us. So Derrick Henry, this just broke a couple hours ago. Derrick Henry signs a 4-year extension, $50 million, gets about, $25.5 million guaranteed, whatever it is.
Correct.
Just yesterday, we were talking on this show with Donnie Wrightside about how it's going to be such a big running back market moving forward with really good backs. Dalvin Cook, Kamara, and then here's your second tier, your Lindsays and your Gurleys and all these dudes. And I said, I don't think Derrick Henry is like super greedy or anything like that. I don't think he's going to say, oh, I need $17 million or I'm sitting out. And I said, I think he's going to be happy with a fair offer. And I was right about that. He takes it right now. And, considering the way the cap could go down in the future, and you look at Melvin Gordon, what happened to him, he's getting $4.5 million more a year than Melvin Gordon's getting. I don't think it's bad. I mean, in a perfect world, he'd be getting $15 million, but they just don't pay running backs. And the market wouldn't have been a good one for him moving forward. So I don't have a problem with the deal. What's your take?
I agree with almost everything that you said. He's the fifth highest paid running back. I think most people would say that's about right. He was the NFL rushing champion last year, but nobody considers him to be necessarily the top back in football. So he gets $25.5 million guaranteed in the first 2 years of this deal. So he comes out really on the good side. It's a relatively team-friendly deal, but he's coming away $25.5 million by the end of next season. That's pretty darn good. As you said, there's a lot of things going on potentially with the cap that could hurt him, but I think it's a good deal for him, and I think the Titans are in a good position as well. It gives them flexibility long-term.
Yeah, just with so much uncertainty going on. Right? Listen, I'm a big Derrick Henry fan, but I understand you could argue he doesn't have that out-of-the-backfield, catch-pass element that Kamara brings to the table, but I think that's fair. He's a top five back. He's one of my favorite backs. I have him on my team before some other guys, but I get it. I think it's fair.
He's averaging the only back the last 2 years with over 500 carries, with over 5 yards a carry too, Morenci. And the best thing is, when has he shown up? In big games. So Derrick Henry, yards per carry, shows up in the playoffs. You know what? I think it's a great deal for the Titans.
All right. So I was talking about the National Football League, and that's like the massive elephant in the room. People are already incredibly frustrated through this lockdown, through the whole sports situation. But I think in the back of their mind, they just sort of assume that, well, in the fall, everything will be fine and NFL football will be back. And I think the NFL's draft gave people a false sense of security a little bit, including Roger Goodell. And I've read a lot of behind-the-scenes quotes of people saying the worst thing that happened was that the draft went off without a hitch, as Goodell sort of thinks they're invincible moving forward. Yet we're seeing more and more players right now. They don't feel the same way. And it's not just a player here or a player there. It's multiple players right now who are starting to express skepticism about the season being played. I was talking earlier, Mike, Sean McVay was questioning whether it's even physically possible to pull off. All right, so Jonathan Jones, cornerback of the Patriots, tweets out, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can't social distance football. All right, so that's just, everyone's going, oh, that's just one player. Sean McVay, we're going to social distance, but then we're going to play football? It's really hard for me to understand. Dante Hightower, ain't no way. He tweets at Jonathan Jones. Patrick Chung, not a damn shot. They are tripping. Not a damn shot. They are tripping if they think we're playing football. That's what he's saying. And everyone discounts everybody. They're only New England Patriot players, right? What about the tackle on the Bucs last week, Mike? Tom Brady's best offensive lineman said it's not worth my risk.
Donovan Smith, yeah.
I'm not risking my life to play football for a year, he said. Point blank. I think the writing is on the wall. No preseason. I think as a betting man, I say there's no way in hell they start September 10th, Mike. I would bet on it.
It's interesting because I think of it the other way, that they will do everything they can to try and start on time and will stumble through this and eventually have to shut it down or alter it significantly. But this is all speculation. I think your guess is as good as mine in terms of the season being altered. They still haven't specifically talked money as far as what happens to this 35% escrow. You know the players aren't going to do that. Richard Sherman did report via social media earlier today that there was some positive dialogue amongst the NFLPA and the NFL regarding safety protocols, but the players are right. You can't socially distance it. It's just a matter of what you're willing to expose it to. I tend to think that the culture of football might see less players opting out than we think, but you know, I thought Major League Baseball, we'd see a roster's worth of players opting out. I think that's still a pretty live guess. But in football, I think percentage-wise, it would be lower just because I tend to think football players, as hard as it is, suck it up and play through these kinds of things, even though this is unique.
You know what? I respect your opinion, but I'm going to disagree. Okay. And I think football players are way more vulnerable than anyone else.
I agree
with this. Offensive linemen are like not, they can't get it. You can't be a 355-pound man and get this. It's not good.
Excellent point.
And yeah.
Their diets, their pre-existing conditions, diabetes, their overall health. Not every offensive lineman in the NFL is as healthy as Duke. All right? Like, offensive linemen die during 2 days as it is already.
I just read an article last week, Gabe, on a series of offensive linemen that have lost tons of weight post-career. It was really interesting. Jordan Gross, Damian Woody, a lot of players interviewed on this fact. And they cut 60, 70 pounds after retirement just because it's better for them.
You know what? It's one of the things that they do. No, Jeff Saturday, another one, right?
He was never massive.
But, yeah, it's one of those things, though, that with the linemen, they tell you. You got to lose the weight right away. Otherwise, you're going to die. You can't carry this weight into your 50s and 60s here. You've got to cut it off. And you'll see, like, it's the guys that attack it right after they stop playing. Kyle Turley, same thing. Kyle Turley's very skinny now. Like, he just stopped, like, doing everything after. Right? Hang in here, Mike.
Bagels and bad beats. Never being a Camp fan, but I will tell you, the officials never gave him the benefit of the doubt. He would get crushed and there wouldn't be any penalty flags for late hits. So, you know, welcome to the real world Patriots from that standpoint.
The Sports Grid Network.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're watching Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
I'm Cam Stewart with your Sports Grid news and betting update. You want the edge, get on the grid. We got a lot of NFL news. Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett put pen to paper today. He signed that new five-year, $125 million deal. It makes him the highest paid defender on a per annual basis. The number one overall pick in 2017, over 30 sacks in three seasons in the league. The NFL trade deadline for teams to extend franchise tags came and went today. Right at the buzzer, the Tennessee Titans and running back Derrick Henry finalized the deal. Henry's new deal, 4 years, $50 million, 25.5 mil guaranteed in 31 regular season games. Since 2018, Henry's been amazing. Just under 2,600 yards rushing, 28 touchdowns, ranking second in both categories. Also the only back with more than 500 plus carries and averaging over 5 yards a carry. Most notably, Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott didn't get his deal. The Cowboys' final offer was between $33 and $35 million annually, meaning $31.4 million he would have made in 2020. Yannick Ngakoue of the Jags, the only player in the league yet to sign his franchise tag. He remains intent on leaving the Jacksonville Jaguars. Key players who will hit free agency in 2021 with no deals so far: A.J. Green, Hunter Henry, Shaq Barrett, Bud Dupree, Leonard Williams, and Anthony Harris. Texans wide receiver Kenny Stills among 87 people facing felony charges after being arrested at a protest for Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky. Police took Stills into custody after he and other protesters marched to the home of Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron to demand action against officers involved in Taylor's death. Stills, he's been charged with disorderly conduct and criminal trespassing. He'll be arraigned Friday morning. In the NBA, Pacers star Victor Oladipo says there is a good chance he will play in the NBA restart if his rehab continues to progress. He's averaging 13.8 points and 3.2 boards in limited action this year. Baseball, scary news for the Mets. Ace Jared DeGrom, he injured his back. He's going to have an MRI listed as day-to-day. It might not be too serious. Jack Flaherty, he's going to be the opening day starter for the Cardinals when they meet the Pirates July 24th. In hockey, awards time, Colorado defenseman Cale Makar, Vancouver Blue Liner Quinn Hughes, and Chicago forward Dominic Kubalik. They've been voted the three finalists for the Calder Trophy, given to the NHL's top rookie. Jack Adams for top coach, Bruce Cassidy of the Bruins, Philly's Alain Vigneault, and John Tortorella of Columbus. They're the list. One game in the MLS tonight, San Jose versus Vancouver, 9 p.m. San Jose minus 140 to win, Vancouver plus 310, draw 280, total 2.5, minus 128 on FanDuel. Busy day in the EPL. We got Arsenal. They beat Liverpool 2-1. The loss prevents Liverpool from setting the Premier League points record. Man City beat Bournemouth 2-1. Tottenham took out Newcastle United 3-1. And Burnley and Wolves played to a 1-1 draw. In the Italian League, a crazy one. Juventus led Sassuolo 2-0, but they tied 3-3. I'm Cam Stewart, back to host Gabe Morenci with our guest, Mike Lewis.
Game competition continues. I am Morenci. UFC Fight Island is off and running right now. We'll be keeping you up to date, and we'll get you some picks before every fight. We're going into the second round right now between Aaron Phillips and Jack Shore. So, listen, we need another 2.5 minutes here as we pull the trigger on over 1.5 rounds. So we just got to get Phillips to give us another 2.5 minutes here. And we cash that ticket over the number. Mike blew it with us. So as far as the National Football League is concerned, and, you know, we have more here, Justin Reed. So Houston Texan safety Reed says, and he went to Stanford as well, so he's a smart dude, says, I think it would be beneficial to delay the season 2 or 3 weeks so that way we can answer a lot of questions that us as players, as far as fans and the coaching staff, have procedurally on how the season's going to happen. I think it would be beneficial to delay the season a couple of weeks. I think that's the way to go. I'm not confident that we're going to start on time, but I am prepared because it is my job. I will be ready under the scenario if it does happen. I will be prepared for it. Goes on to say Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is for delaying the season. And they're not saying, like, oh, until March or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, like Reed said, a couple of weeks. Everyone knows the NFL has a plan B schedule that starts October 14th. It's not a secret. And already, here are the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins already have plans of preparing a delay to the start of camp. Players aren't even allowed to show up at camp right now. Mike, they don't even have a deal, like you said.
That's right. So there's still a lot of money questions going on. Obviously, the delay would also help with all of the lack of in-person interaction that was supposed to have gone on for the last few months, notably for the rookies and potential undrafted free agents that have never even reported to the building. So there are a lot of questions to be answered regarding money, regarding health and safety protocols. I think Justin Reed's take is perfectly reasonable. Let's start October 1 and figure all this out instead of trying to stumble to the starting gate, which is what I'm most concerned about. I think doing that will hinder the rest of the season. I don't know if they start October 1, that they get through any of it anyway, or much of it, but it seems a better plan as opposed to screwing up initially and then apologizing afterwards.
Yeah, and not to mention, guys, and I know nobody, you know, we're in an era right now where nobody believes any experts and everything is fake news and everything else in between. But the heads of the CDC and other health experts, I saw them say the other day that this fall is going to be a medical situation that America has never seen before. That it's going to be like, it's going to make like this last thing seem like pale in comparison between right. The flu, influenza, and the new modern strain that's going to hit in the fall of coronavirus. And it's not if, guys. Like, that's the whole thing. When you hear people say, well, we don't know what's going to happen 2 months from now. No, we do. Look at the chart. We do.
Yeah.
like it's not going in the right direction. As you stated, it makes me wonder when they're like, well, we're going to wait till October. Like, is it going to be better then? It was almost like they should have started earlier, if anything.
That's why I think they're going to start on time.
You know what?
Because I think it will get worse.
That is an excellent point. That is a great point.
You know what I mean, Cam?
I agree with you 100% because you know about it too. Think about all the things that are happening now. You talk about it. Influenza, it's a big thing. So there's going to be problems between, do we diagnose between this new coronavirus strain, the flu, and everything else? You're right, Gabe. At least if we started earlier, got a few under our belt, and then we're thinking good because that window of time is gone. And I'll tell you this, and you guys know the NFL too, right? Like, people are going to watch regardless, right? So don't be a stooge and start things, oh, we have to do this at this time and whatever. It's going to be all right. But Gabe, that is an excellent point that no one's talked about. I believe earlier would be better because it doesn't matter. September, October, November probably, it's still going to be a tough scenario. They're not going to get through.
Yeah, like college football, really, and it's, you can't do it. You can't readjust the real world for sports as much as we all want that to happen. But exactly. Same thing. Like college football, like you can pull it off. They should have been playing in August. August and September, and everyone's gone by the time it's fall again. You don't want to be around. Like, I tell you what, you don't want to be around these places in November and stuff. And like I said, I know there's people out there, I'm sure you're listening right now or watching, thinking, how the hell do you know what's going to happen 4 or 5 months from now? Well, are things going well right now, guys? And you think, magic, is there a magic wand? Is Jack at a beanstalk? Is there a magic bag of beans somewhere? Like just to be real. Like, if you want to be real, and there's a reason why the Ivy League shut everything down.
Yeah.
And we'll let you go, Mike, because we got to get into the golf
league.
But
yeah.
You got a Patriot League.
But the universities have adjusted and told their students, we want you home before Thanksgiving. So I would imagine, you know, college football typically stops before then, but we got championship games and bowl games and all that kind of stuff that need to be adjusted. I just don't think logistically it's possible for the NFL to move it up much more than where it is already is, because the money isn't figured out yet.
The the next couple of weeks are paramount for football. It really is. I mean, these teams are talking about they need 6 weeks. College teams are talking about needing 6 weeks moving forward. And although the NBA bubble and the playoffs are going, there was a lot of talk about, all right, they're going to play. The finals would be, what, October the 12th, game 7 of the NBA finals, that it would carry over and then they would start their season Christmas Day, right? That sort of seemed to be a consensus. Mm-hmm. There was sort of like there's a sports sort of WikiLeaks, like there was an internal memo from the NBA that's leaked. And it doesn't say they're starting Christmas. And in fact, basically it says major medical, like mass ban. Like basically, we're not playing Christmas. That the NBA is, it was a plan B, so to speak. But this is how, like, the NBA is at least thinking and realistic about things. And basically the NBA was saying they might become a summer league. Like they might start like next March type thing. Like March or April, the NBA, that they're not, they can't go through the wintertime having players travel everywhere. And they can't live in a bubble forever either. So they're sort of accepting that they're going to, you know, maybe just sort of rearrange
I'm okay
like
with
their
that.
Schedule moving forward, right?
I got no problem with that either. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's you got to do what you got to do if you want to pull it off. I mean, that's just
bubble for long term makes no sense. I don't think they're going to be able to. I think some players are already violating this bubble. I don't think they're going to be able to do it for much more than they're being asked. So to have them leave for a month and then do it for another 6 months doesn't make any sense.
No way.
Now, one thing I want to say, and we'll get you out of here, Mike, is and Cam. Oh, well, Cam stays. You can stay if you want, Mike. Got any golf picks for us, Mike?
Not at present. Kepka.
So, yeah, that's it. I'm just seeing. All right, so Jack Shore's already won the fight. Did we get Jack the Shore. 1.5, though? Did it? How? I missed the time here. I looked
good
up
question.
Last second. I don't
check
think so.
The time.
So.
229 of round two.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am. So that means you'd what? But it's 1 second.
We lost by 1 second.
Yet. Yeah, that's. I didn't touch that fight. I never bet against a guy from Wales, but
that's
I didn't take the
beat.
Other guy. That's so tough beat. Well, it's the way things have been going. I'll tell you, man. From MLS to other things.
No, no, wait. You said wait. You said 229.
That's what it says. Yeah, 229. So that's
they
won
down.
By a second, right?
They go down. Yeah. That's, that means we won by a second.
That's right. It's the other way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because it counts down. Five, it goes down, right? Like final.
That's the thing.
Like,
when you look at that, you assume like it's 20.
Second.
It says 229. So it was 231.
You got me. I'm like, oh, man, 229. Yeah, like.
No, I just checked the result on the phone. I'm like, 229, okay.
229, yeah. We won by one. We won by 1 second.
See, now that's a good. See, now you can take that in the good
in
the good category instead of the bad beats. Exactly.
Mike blew it. Mike blew it with us. Yeah, it's a busy night tonight, Mike. We got NASCAR. We got UFC. Little MLS soccer as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm in on UFC and soccer. You know, NASCAR. I might have. I got multiple TVs. I got nobody home with me, so I'm in on sports tonight.
Letting it loose in the Blewett household.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Blewett. Yeah. Yeah, he takes off the pants, stretches it out. Yeah, I got the place to myself.
you have any golf picks for you? You betting the golf?
Yeah, I'll
golf
take
picks?
Not really. No, I'll leave that to you guys. I'm not going to give out bad golf picks, but I like what they've done with a couple of the trios, putting some popular players
we've
together.
We've been good, Gabe. Three of the last four, we've hit winners. We're actually doing pretty good. We used to get, sometimes we give out bad golf picks, but we've been okay recently.
Now, Cam has been on fire. Yeah, Brooks Koepka, some good odds. All right, Mike, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot.
All right, boys, take care. Talk to you next week.
Have a good one, Mike. Enjoy your night of solitude.
Mike blew it. See how we escaped? 1 second, a 1 second win.
No. That's the thing. When you look at it, you go 229, right? So I'm like, okay, yeah. So 231, well, that's unbelievable. That is so.
Yeah, they go
this
down.
Is amazing.
Oh,
how
I guarantee
they do
you
that.
There's gonna be controversy about this.
Of course there will.
There's gonna
when
be,
did it happen? One second. Push.
Yeah.
Be careful. What do you do to a button? Push. We'll see. You better get that credit quick before you explode like a volcano. But they'll pay you. That's an official time. I got that from a website. It said 229 round two. So that's got to be. They don't put out fake information. That's got to be real.
Never in doubt. What a lock. One second. Now, the whole fight, man, Jack Shore was all over him like Oprah on a baked head. Like, you know, Phillips had a problem. Captain Phillips had a real problem. Yeah. Got overtaken.
Sounds like Lou's going to be going to Gillette. Phillips, the first shave was not a good one. Thing is, I'll take a guy at plus 500. I know nothing about the, like, to tell you. You know Shore?
Big time decision continues. I know Pauly Shore.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues, and we're off and running in the UFC here with a win. A one-second win.
Win.
A one-second win. 229 is a winner. 231 would have been a loser. And it's already been graded. And it's funny how everybody saw 229.
No,
and my Twitter blows up, and people are like, ah, oh, they're dropping F-bombs. They're like, oh, we just lost by a second. It's 229. No, guys, it counts down.
Exactly.
It counts down. So if it was 231, we would have lost by a second. We actually won by 1 second, thanks to Phillips for not tapping 2 seconds earlier.
Yeah, Phillips, yeah, you owe him one. Yeah, there we go, Phillips.
Yeah, thanks for not tapping 2 seconds earlier. So we're off and running right now, and now we got that parlay alive. With Shore, Al Hassan, and Calvin Cutter tonight. And we'll keep our eye moving up here on the next fight, but let's get into the golf right now, yep. Cam. What are we looking at here? The Memorial, let's get people the updated odds. Right now, DeChambeau 12-1, Thomas 12-1, Cantlay 14-1, Rory's 14-1, DJ 16, Morikawa 22, John Rahm 22, Hovland 23, Tiger down to 25, came down a little bit. Hideki Matsuyama 28, Webb Simpson 28, Xander Schauffele 28, Brooks Koepka was 28-1, up to 30-1 right now. And that's the neighborhood that you and I were both looking at earlier in the week, but let's get down to business. What are you looking at, Cam?
Gabe, I got to tell you something. I like Cantlay a lot, but this is the week we're going to spread it around, right? We're going to do some top 10s, top 20s. As I mentioned before, I'll join you on the late show to find some guys like over 60-1 that we can have top 20s to plus money. But my first selection is a guy that you've called overrated before, but now we're getting the price that is right. Who are we talking about, Gabe? Look at the board. Who's the guy that you think is overrated, but now he's not 12-14-1. Now he's in the 20 range. Who do you got? Ramen Noodles, that's who. John Rahm.
John Rahm.
He's the guy this week. You're getting a price finally. This is where John Rahm, because he's a very good golfer, he played well on Sunday. Not in great form, but I saw something from him last week. And John Rahm does a lot of things well. What are you going to have to do this week? You got to hit it far. You got to hit it with a, you know, don't spray the driver. And he's really consistent. He gets hot and cold with the putter, usually hot. He's 22-1. Top 10, he's plus 220. And Gabe, the thing that I'm looking at for these top 20s, don't even like, you find a guy where you don't have to lay juice, that is a good bet. So if you take a $100 unit, you know, maybe you throw $20 on the win, $40 on the top 10 and 20s. You could split it up that way. However you want to do it, you do the math. But John Rahm tells me at 22 to 1, this is the week I get on him. Next, Xander Schauffele, another guy, T14 last week. A very good player that simply, in my opinion, should be, you know, winning a lot more. He had a heartbreaking putt where he couldn't get into the playoff. It was where Morikawa actually lost to Berger. It turned out it was Berger versus Scheifele. Scheifele's one of those guys. He's been very, very close, and he wins, but he should be winning more. But it's very hard to win on the PGA Tour. 28-1, Schauffele, Gabe, love him. You talked about it. Sometimes you have to take a guy and you bet the number. Brooks Koepka was in the exact same situation, and I repeat, the exact same situation that Patrick Cantlay was in. Patrick Cantlay, the difference was he made the cut almost on the number and sizzled in the weekend and got inside the top six. Brooks Koepka, on the other hand, just didn't make the cut, but he had a sizzling round after he blew up in the first round. So all of a sudden, what? He's not a good golfer? You're giving me him at 30-1. I understand about the majors, but Brooks Koepka at 30-1 is disrespectful to him. He should be in the 20 to 22 range. I will take him at 30. I got three other value plays for you, Morenci. Abraham, you got questions. I got answers at 45-1. He is the perfect game here. You got to take guys. It's a second shot golf course. You want guys who put it in play, great irons. Abraham answers that guy. If his putting's on, we'll see him on the leaderboard on Sunday, and maybe we'll cash it 45-1. And I got two bombs that I really, really like. I think Mark Leishman is probably my favorite pick for the price at 75-1. He is also 6-1 to finish in the top 10. That will be bet. I think the Aussie is a guy that's really, really underrated. He's not playing his best golf right now, but Mark Leishman's very streaky, and he does a lot of things well. He loves the Jack Nicklaus design and will play well. And my final pick at 80-1 is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Phil Mickelson bones his caddies now with Fitzpatrick. He did okay on the weekend. He made a little bit of money. Fell short, but, you know, just outside the top 20, I think Matthew Fitzpatrick's a guy who's trending in the right direction at 80-1. And you also get him, Gabe. It's a really nice price. It's 6-1 for the top 10. So I repeat, John Rahm at 22, Xander Schauffele at 28-1, Brooks Koepka, insane price at 30-1. A couple, little bit of value for you guys. Abraham Answer at 45-1. Mark Leishman at 75-1. And Matthew Fitzpatrick, the young Brit, at 80-1. Who are you looking at, Gabe?
You know, I'm looking at some of the same guys. And, you know, I've been riding Bryson DeChambeau on a weekly basis, riding this top 10 prop. Guys, he's finished in the top 10 in 9 of the last 10 tournaments that he has played in. And it's been money. But there's no value with this anymore. It used to be plus 250. Mm-hmm. It used to be plus 175. Now it's like minus 135, minus 110 in that territory. And I actually think, you know, he could struggle a little bit, Ken. You and I talked about it earlier in the week. Jack was saying it was after one of the weekends that he was bombing him 400 yards and stuff. And Jack said it was ridiculous that you need to have a uniform golf ball that isn't made to go for, you know, as far as possible. Otherwise, you're going to destroy the sport of golf. And I know they're going to make the course a lot tougher here this week. He didn't play last week. There's more pressure on him now. You know, the stakes are getting a little higher. The Memorial, majors around the corner right now. I'm going to stay away from him. The guy I keep coming back to is Xander. He screws me all the time. He never wins, but I think Xander Schauffele is going to be a nice top 10 play and a nice top 20 play, Cam. And I think he's got a chance of winning. One of these weeks, he's going to get it done. That's a guy that I'm looking at here, Xander. And I like the Brooks Koepka angle, too, because I've seen the progression of Brooks Koepka. I think Koepka's going to be in a mix. And at those fat odds, we can take the nice finishing position props with him, too. But if I got to pick a guy, man, I'm going to go with Xander this weekend.
Well, Gabe, I got to tell you something. As I know you like your top 10 and 20s, but please, like, say he wins and you don't have him at 28, even 5 or 10 bucks, you know, to get
the 280. I'm going to take him to win, too. I'm going to take him to win.
That's what I'm saying. Just spread out the units. You know what to do. And let me say this to everybody betting golf. What has been the tried, tested, and true method since the break? Struggle and then win. What happened, Gabe, when I said it? Webb Simpson didn't make the cut, came back and won the next week.
Oh, he's another one I like. I think Webb Simpson's going to be in a mix, too.
I do, too. I can't bet everybody, right? Like, that's the thing. And you know me in golf, I really spread it around. I think Webb Simpson is a great top 10 and top 20 play. He's not going to be in my six pack.
But as far as Shoffley, I can't. Like, I don't think people realize. So he's the 11th ranked player in the world right now.
He's awesome.
14th place finish at the Workday Charity Open. Runner-up finish at the WGC HSBC. Runner-up at the Century Tournament of Champions. Yep. Third place finish at the Charles Schwab. Four-time tour winner. The guy's been knocking on the door for a couple of months, Ken. He really has.
And we get him at 28-1. Here's the thing. This is what we're saying. Look at Ricky Fowler, okay? He never wins. He never wins. You're getting him at like 35, 40. Like, that's the thing. He could win this week. I get it. But he's not getting a cent of my money. There's certain guys in golf, Gabe. It's kind of like MMA fighters. They'll win some fights. You know, they'll make money. But do you really trust them? You have to have guys that have been there to have won the tournaments. And Shoffley has. Brooks Koepka has. These guys can get it done. They're not just top 5 and 10 machines here. And I'm going to tell you, Colin Morikawa had his miscut streak before he came back and won that tournament where he came back against Justin Thomas. Am I repeating a theme here? Struggles, then well.
Yep.
Who played bad last week? Brooks Koepka. Who's coming back? Brooks Koepka. I think him and Shoffley have a lot to prove this week. That's why those guys are my horses. And I think John Rahm out of the chalk, I like him more than guys like DeChambeau all day. John Rahm has the right game now. 22-1 looks good. Those are the three horses. And I like the underdogs. I think Abraham Answer's been close. Mark Leishman's a great golfer. Those are the top fives and a little sprinkle on Fitzpatrick, who's a good player at 80-1.
What about Hideki this week? No interest in Hideki?
There's always interest, Gabe. Here's the thing about Hideki. He's like the girlfriend that, you know she's banging
for the record,
friend.
Damn, sorry.
Yeah.
The girl that the girl at the airport lost.
Yeah, I told you. Oh, yeah, I met her in the airport. She's great. I could have taken plus 70 with the girl we didn't meet.
She but just anyway, tapped out in like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Hey, but she's a very nice girl. I met her at customs. Anyway, here's the thing about Hideki. Speaking of women, he's like the girl that, Gabe, you've been going out for a while and you've been pretty good. You know, I got a relationship, but you know, she's got something going on when you're at work and working hard, putting in extra hours. Hideki's that guy. It's like, why can't you, like, oh, he just drives you nuts. He can be there, but he'll have one bad hole. He'll freak out. And I keep coming back and coming back. I know you're cheating on me. I keep coming back. Honey, I love you. I know you're doing this to me again. Hideki's a better top 10 and top 20 play. I don't know. He can win. And when he's been comfortable. And when he wins by multiple shots, Gabe. The problem is he hasn't been able to figure out the bad round and hole. When other guys take bogeys, he'll take triples and quads. He has one hole where he'll lose his mind, and it costs him tournaments. I like him top 10 and 20, though.
I'm seeing Lucas Glover. He didn't play in the workday. He didn't play in the workday camp, but four straight top 25 finishes before he took the week off. Plus 550 to be top 20. Pretty good odds, man. Plus 550 for top 20.
Lucas Glover is probably most underrated, one of them on tour, Gabe. The reason you're getting those odds is he's not a very good putter. But if you look at his stats, tee to green and all the other things that he does really, really well. But these guys are on the PGA Tour, and anybody can get hot for 4 days with the putter. If he gets any strokes gained putting, Lucas Glover will be in the top 10 and be in contending for this tournament. So I agree. I think his ball striking is fantastic, and he's very underrated. I like the top 20 play. That's a good price.
What about Victor Hovland this week? Another guy that's played really, really good golf all summer long.
Know what I'm going to do with Hovland this week? I'm just going to let him be. He could be top 10. He could be top 20. Know what the thing about him too, Gabe, is like when Morikawa, him and Thomas were battling, who faded? Hovland. He still won a tournament.
Yeah,
I'll give the kid a lot of credit. Nice kid, Norwegian guy, Oklahoma State. He looks like a really friendly fella. Like, I'd like to meet him. He's very chipper. But this is the week, I think, where, the course is a little bit tougher. He's been driving around to courses, too. I think this is the week where fatigue hits Victor Hovland. I'm not in the mood. I actually might fade him in a matchup bet because he's favored in a lot of them due to his recent great play.
What about Harris English?
Hello, I'm Harris English.
Harris English.
Georgia Bulldog, Harris English. Yeah, he actually hits the ball pretty straight. And so the thing about Harris English is I never take him to win. He might be a top 20 guy. Nah, I got enough in my portfolio, Gabe. Hello. I'm going to leave Harris English out. You can, if you want to spot a tea and a crumpet, you can have them. I'm going to pass.
And Keegan Bradley, worth a look as a sleeper, as a top 20 prop?
Not in my world, but I don't, I'm going to say pass. Rory Sabatini is, though, as stupid as that sounds, that guy plays, that scores great. And Kevin Streelman. Those are good guys.
Listen, we've got to get into the MLS game a little bit here tonight.
Yes,
I look forward to Cam's soccer pick of the night. He's been crushing it.
Not last night, but yeah.
No, you're giving. I can't get the pick. I don't know. I'm going with the under again. I don't care. I'm going under.
Pharrell. Coast to coast.
I guess every week is big, and especially for college sports, because they are facing an elimination game themselves, because we saw what happened at the tail end of last week where all these conferences started saying conference-only games. Rick, today the Patriot League said no. There's not going to be any fall sports. We've already had the Ivy League. We've already had the Pac-12. I mean, I just don't think it's going to stop.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're watching Sports Grid.
Agree. All right, we got a couple of minutes left on Game Time Decisions right now. Fun times. Thanks to Lou from gambloo.com for joining us, and Mike Blewett as well. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart will rejoin me tonight for some overnight last minute golf picks. For the Memorial Sports Rage late night, overnight on these same radio stations that you're listening to us on right now. So the Vancouver Whitecaps and the Earthquakes. And I'm glad this game actually gives us an hour. A lot of these, not only the MLS, starts right away, right after the show. But this starts in an hour, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific time. All Cascadian matchup here. Vancouver Whitecaps versus San Jose Earthquakes. They played twice last year, and San Jose won both times, 3-1. And in fact, the last five times they played, Cam, goals, goals, goals. 2-2, 3-2, 2-1, 3-1, 3-1, which makes me like the under even more.
I do the opposite here. Why not?
Vancouver haven't played, Cam, and San Jose played pretty well, actually, against Seattle. I watched that match. They had possession of the ball 64% of the time. They just couldn't bury it in the back of the net. People think Vancouver might be the worst team in the MLS. I don't know if Vancouver's going to be able to score much, but I don't know, dude. Orlando sucked too, Cam, and they're 2-0 in this tournament, man.
Now look at them. You're right. They made New York look like horrible. I know. I'm on give me the San Jose Earthquakes. The line slipped a little bit. I'm on them to win tonight. I agree with you, though, Gabe. I'd probably go on the under, but that is my main play. They win this thing, I will lay the small juice. Give me the Earthquakes over the Whitecaps, even though I love the city of Vancouver, its people. And, you know, I know you soft in your heart, but you got to do what you got to do. I'm not sure if they can beat these guys. Under and San Jose.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to take the Caps plus a goal. Give me like some spread betting.
Can you get two goals?
two goals is minus 340 though, Cam. It's a heavy teaser, that one. Two goals.
Of course it is. Get two. Four rocks.
May the winners be yours.
Bagels and bad beats. Never being a Cam fan, but I will tell you, the officials never gave him the benefit of the doubt. He would get crushed and there wouldn't be any penalty flags for late hits. So, you know, welcome to the real world Patriots from that standpoint.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.